Greetings, I'm Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Keith Murky, who is with the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights. And Keith is here today to talk to us about employment discrimination and housing discrimination and how we can protect ourselves and what to do if we are affected. So, Keith, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It's been a while since you've been on, and I know you're busy, which as a taxpayer, I'm real glad of.
Very, very busy.
But I appreciate you coming. First of all, for those of our listeners who didn't catch your show with us last year, could you tell us about the commission?
Sure. The Maryland Commission on Civil Rights is the state agency that enforces Title 20, which is the state anti-discrimination code. Mm-hmm. So it deals with protections in housing, employment, and public services and accommodations. So we have people that do intake, we have investigation, we have a litigation unit, and of course we have an education and outreach unit. So we let people know about their rights as citizens in Maryland. Our law covers people that live, visit, as well as work in the state of Maryland. So if you have visitors from out of town and something happens in a public accommodation, they're still protected by our law.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. How can someone find out more information?
There's multiple ways to get to us. You can get to us. We're located in downtown Baltimore at 6 St. Paul Street. You can call us at 410-767-8600. Or give us a toll-free call, 1-800-637-6247, or go to our website, mccr@maryland.gov.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. And how long have you been with the commission now?
Going on 19 years.
19 years?
Yeah.
You not only know where the bones are buried, you know where the bones of the bones were buried.
That's right. This is, it's been a job that I've loved. I love teaching, and so I feel very, very blessed that I stumbled upon this job when I was working in nonprofit work, and this has been really wonderful. I met some wonderful people, and just seen some changes in law, and seen some changes in even attitudes in 19 years. I've seen people's attitudes change about different groups.
I was just about to ask you about that.
Right. I know when I first started, the very first year I started, they added sexual orientation to the law. Mm-hmm. And so I've noticed as I've taught classes on sexual orientation for different agencies and different companies that the perception of the people in groups have changed over years. And most people now that are especially younger than I am will go like, why is that a big deal? Well, isn't that what you're supposed to do? And it's like, but that wasn't the way it was.
Right.
And there's still pockets where that's a very big resistance to it. But the fact is sexual orientation is a protected class in our state. So we need to remember that along with like race, age, gender, disability, all of those. So it falls. Our newest one is gender identity, which deals with persons who are transgender. And it's a very specific law and says that persons, when we talk about gender identity, but it's about what people know and believe as a part of their core identity, that mm-hmm. they're not the gender that they were assigned at birth. And so it's not the same as someone who may dress in another sex clothing for entertainment. It's really about someone who knows that when I look in a mirror, that's not me in the mirror. You know, my interior doesn't match the exterior.
Right.
So
right.
It's a very specific law, and it's been a long time coming. And we're one of a medium-sized number of states that have actually protected that.
Yeah,
and
good
jurisdictions
Maryland.
And cities and things. So Maryland has been pretty much at the forefront in many different ways. And so really excited about being here. States around us sometimes are a little bit slower to do those things.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess that's appropriate because Maryland had the first, right?
First
commission.
Right. We're one of the first. 1927. 1927 was when the commission was begun as the Interracial Commission. And it was very interesting over time that didn't have a lot of power until 1968 after Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated. And then within a year, we were funded and staffed.
Yeah.
And since then, it's continued to kind of grow in protected classes and the kind of things that we do. Who we protect and those kind of things.
Right.
So it is, and it's not something we ever go backwards on. We just continually do things. We add things.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's been a continuing demand. If anything, it's increased.
Right, right. With several things in the last couple of years, the public discourse has become very, not very civil. And so what happens is if the civil attitude is in a national discussion is mm-hmm. not very civil, it translates to individuals not being civil. So people say, oh, I can say what I want to say. And because if you look at our statistics of cases being filed, it's like we had a dip in like 2015, 2016, but now we've shot to the top again. In the last couple of years, we've had higher increases in complaints and issues that have come forward. Our number of hate crimes have increased, what I consider dramatically.
Is there any trend in locations?
Not really. Central Maryland has always been the more, because it's a larger concentrated number of people.
Right.
But
right.
when it comes to hate crimes, we have a lot of counties that don't report anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of sad because you know that it's not that everybody there is getting along with each other.
Yeah,
it's just that they're not being designated as hate crimes. There may be vandalism of something, whether it's a swastika or the use of any kind of slur, but the police would put it down as vandalism, but not as a vandalism with hate as its text.
Is there any practical reason why they might not classify it?
Some counties don't want them to be known as places where that happens.
Yeah, so it's a political thing.
That, and sometimes even in the training, they may be trained to do it, but some people don't think they think a crime is a crime is a crime. Making it based in hate doesn't do anything, but it's an enhanced penalty. So if someone is found guilty of a hate crime, meaning it was vandalism or an attack or an assault or a murder or anything like that, and it's based in hate, there's an enhanced penalty of 5 or more years. Added to their sentence.
Well, it's a shame, and shame on those counties that do not report anything.
And it's really interesting. You wonder, is it individual police officers?
Which are the counties, incidentally?
Well, so
it's a matter of public record. So.
It is. I think like Cecil County doesn't report much.
Cecil?
We have some on the Eastern Shore. I'm not real sure of the exact. Actually, I can look real quick. But there are just some certain counties. Of course, the bias motives are a little different. So, like, our bias at the highest is you have anti-Black, African-American, anti-Jewish, which has been on the increase, and anti-gay. Mm. So the number of our anti-Semitic things have gone dramatically up. Mm. And African-American has always been one of the higher ones. But by county, the lowest, like Cecil, Somerset, Carroll, some of the highest are Montgomery, Baltimore, Anne Arundel, Howard, but they have good reporting systems.
Right.
It's not saying that it doesn't happen in every jurisdiction. It's just that some jurisdictions have better reporting systems set up,
right,
even though they're supposed to do it. That's the whole thing. And same thing with employment discrimination. You'll see different kinds of discrimination in different parts of the state. Western Maryland, you see a lot more pregnancy discrimination.
Really?
Women are pregnant and they get fired from jobs or they're not hired. Not as much so in central or the coastal.
What do you ascribe that to?
Well, for example, you'll find very little race discrimination in the Western because there's not a lot of race differentiation there. There's a lot more of one specific group, so there's less to do that. Whereas in Central Maryland and Eastern Shore, there's a more even a number of distribution of racial categories, especially
right.
around D.C.,
right.
you know,
right.
so don't have as much anti-Asian. The fact is that there are some cultures that don't report.
Yeah.
Like there are some that will never, even if it happens to them, they're not going to report it. And so it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. In housing, for example, employment's our highest. About 81% of our cases last year were employment. Housing was about 10%. That doesn't mean there's not a lot of housing discrimination going on.
Right.
It's just that people aren't reporting it.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
might be because of retaliation, which is our highest form of discrimination is retaliation. That's been the last 2 years. For EEOC, it's been the last 10 years. So,
and there are that's a crime.
It is retaliation when you are punished for doing something the government says you're allowed to do.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Let's talk about retaliation for
sure.
A while.
So, for example, retaliation, if you file a complaint, which we have a right to do, usually by the federal, state, and local, says you have a right, everybody has a right to complain. Now, we might find that it's not discrimination or harassment.
Right.
We do an investigation, discover maybe there's not enough evidence, but you have a right to complain. But if you complain and then some action is taken against you for complaining, that's retaliation.
So what actions would constitute?
People could be fired, for example. Mm-hmm. People's terms and conditions could change.
You could be transferred to a more noxious position.
Right. You could be like saying, like, we have three sites and you're working the one close to your house and they move you the one farthest from your house.
Yeah, yeah.
So they can make those little things. Now, you would have to show that that was going to happen anyway. Like you had plans a year ago that we're going to be shifting things.
Right.
Same thing as maybe giving people extra work. We're always given extra work, but if you're given extra work that is humanly impossible to do in the time frame, we will see that as retaliation.
Yeah.
If you say you're a librarian, you file a complaint, and then you're told to categorize 75,000 books in 2 days.
Yeah.
Well, that's humanly impossible to do that.
True.
So, but we will look at that kind of stuff. And sometimes time is not on either side.
Yeah.
For example, someone may know, a supervisor may know that there's going to be layoffs in 3 months. So they don't do anything to you until 3 months and you're the first one laid off.
Yeah.
So sometimes we can make a causal connection.
Yeah.
So that goes with just harassment, discrimination, as well as retaliation.
And what are the penalties?
Well, the penalties, that is something that's kind of like a negotiated thing. So there's not one set thing for that. But sometimes we find that people are not guilty of discrimination or harassment, but they're guilty of retaliation. So if they had just not done anything, it'd have been closed, shut case. But what they did was, instead of letting the investigation go on and come to its natural conclusion, they reacted to it. Now, retaliation is a natural human response. Someone says something about us. For example, a supervisor is accused of doing something.
Right.
Sexual harassment, mistreatment of somebody. Egos get hurt. Feelings get hurt. People say, I would never do that. So it's a natural response to lash out because I'm going to make you hurt as much as I. Well, especially people in power, you have to be very careful not to do that because it holds the company liable for that.
Right.
And we see that in all forms of our life.
It's unfair treatment.
It is unfair treatment. Like, I'm doing something. We tell people sometimes you feel like that's what's happening, but it might not be. You know, sometimes we don't know all the information on the administration side. We don't know it. So it can be really interesting.
But the best advice, if you have any questions about whether your case or your daughter's or your cousin's falls into this situation, the best thing is to call and talk to somebody because information is free.
Right, and if you give a call to our intake officers, they're the ones that make the assessments.
And they'll keep it quiet until you...
Oh, it's confidential. It's confidential.
It's confidential.
The only time it is ever released to the public if someone is found guilty and then it's released for public knowledge.
Right.
And that's if, you know, it's been a process where they've had to be litigated and all that. So most cases, I would say even 95% to 99% of our cases are confidential. We don't share that information back and forth. I, as an educator, don't know the information about cases until after they're settled. I can use illustrations, but I don't give any details. So even I, as a staff member, I don't know what's going on. So.
Right. Could you tell us, just to close here in the next minute and a half, what is employment discrimination?
Well, employment discrimination is when you're treated differently because of one of the protected classes. So race, age, gender, disability, sexual orientation, national origin, all of those. And it could be in everything from hiring to firing to preferential treatment that may be given to some groups and not others, sexual harassment, which, of course, has grown with the Me Too movement. So those are the kind of things that we look at as an employment. When you are treated differently, regardless of your ability or merit, you're treated differently because of a group you're in or you're perceived to be in. And so that would be employment discrimination, your area of employment. And it covers your entire area from like how jobs are advertised to when you're let go or you leave. Housing would be different. It could be everything from mortgage rates to whether you're even allowed to see an apartment, whether you're allowed to see a place to buy. If you're treated differently in real estate services or steering where you're directed to certain neighborhoods, those constitute those housing discrimination that we see.
Right. Thank you. But once again, the key is to call and ask for assistance to figure it out.
Right.
Now, how can someone do that?
Well, you can call our main number at 410-767-8600, and do the prompts. Will take you to the intake office. You can also do toll-free 1-800-637-6247. Or go on to our website, www.mccr.maryland.gov.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Keith.
Well, thank you, Bill.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today in Living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Keith Murky is with the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights, for being our guest today. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Bill.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
Appreciate it.
And for living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for being our guest today and tuning in today. And we'll see you next time. All right.